Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBNRepublicBroadcasting.org. It's the stomachache of free speech, because I got a stomachache, but I took some Chinese traditional medicine, and hopefully it'll work. Otherwise, maybe I'll hemorrhage and die. But by the end of the show, you should probably know one way or the other. So go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundings to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators standing by. And we are doing the Patrick and Jeremy show part two. We're doing it a day early, and it's actually going to be recorded as part one. So, because things happen like that sometimes. So, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Patrick. Good to be here. And we have a lot to talk about.
Okay. What do we have to talk about?
Well, let's see. Firstly, we got war with Iran heating up. It's already starting. Iran, apparently, according to our three-letter agencies, is hacking against Trump. So 4 years ago, Russia was hacking our elections for Trump.
Right, 8 years ago.
8 years ago. They probably were 4 years ago, too. I mean, you know how those Russians are. They rule the world and they control everything. Look at all the Russians in his cabinet. Yeah. They're Chinese Russian Jesuits in Biden's cabinet running things.
That's right.
But anyway, but now, so similar to how Russia was hacking for Trump, Iran is hacking against Trump. The U.S. intelligence community, who we so greatly revere, right? I mean, they get it right all the time. They never try to mess with us, right? They've observed Iran trying to influence the 2024 election and keep former President Donald Trump from a second term. This according to the New York Post. The New York Post is based. It's like right-wing conservative. So we can trust it. Yeah. The official at the Office of Director of National Intelligence said that agencies have observed Iran working to influence the presidential election because Iranian leaders want to avoid any outcome they perceive would increase the tensions with the United States. So I guess they observed them. I don't know. They went over there in disguise and watched Iranian officials from Tehran get people to get on their laptops and make Facebook posts. I'm not sure how they observed them, but they did. So anyway, let me just stop there. The it goes on and on. Trying to paint Iran as this this election influencer. Never mind that, you know, AIPAC will primary you if you don't go full on support of genocide. That's not foreign influence, but Tehran has, 12-year-olds sitting at their laptops 14 hours a day hacking into your Facebook and your Instagram, trying to put out memes against Donald Trump. I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah. I remember some years ago, it would have been after the 2016 election. I used to watch the PBS NewsHour with Judy Woodruff, the odious Judy Woodruff. And every Friday, she would talk to Mark Shields and David Brooks. Mark Shields is an old, fat Irish syndicated columnist, and he was the Democrat on the panel. And then David Brooks, who is a columnist at the New York Times, editorial writer, he's Jewish, and he's registered Republican. David Duke's always quoting from an article he wrote about somebody asking him. Well, he had written a book, actually, and then he was giving a book talk, and someone, a Jewish woman in the crowd, said, well, came up to him afterwards and said, well, what you're talking about is the Jewish takeover of America. And in the article where David Brooks recounts this, he says, I looked at her and I could tell she was Jewish, and I knew she knew I was Jewish. And I had to admit there was a lot of truth to what she said. Well, I mean, David Duke always refers to that as David Brooks bragging about the Jewish takeover. And honestly, like David Brooks. I used to watch him, and he, you know, he seems like the type of person, like, if you drank beer and if he drank beer, you could go out and drink beer with him. I don't drink beer, and I don't know if he does either. But, you know, he seems, some of these people seem like you wouldn't want to be anywhere near them. But David Brooks, he seems kind of like nerdy and the type of person to blurt out the truth. He's definitely a Zionist, and his son entered the Israeli army. But he wasn't bragging. And why am I bringing him up? I almost forgot why I'm bringing him up. I'm bringing him up because sometime after the 2016 election, at some point afterwards, Judy Woodruff asked him, and, you know, Mark Shields asked, do you think there's any truth to this Russia hacking the election, or Russia hacking the election? The 17 intelligence agencies said they hacked the election, or that they trying to influence the election. What do you think of this? And David Brooks, who I think is honest in a nerdy way, said, look, we, and by we, he meant journalists, people in the media, we have been trying to influence elections our entire career. And, you know, it's not that easy. So that was kind of a long roundabout way of getting to it. But the thing is, okay, they're always, when they talked about Russia hacking the election, what it boiled down to was about $40,000 worth of Facebook ads, which were placed in states that weren't even purple states. They weren't even swing states. They were poorly placed ads. And so, you know, what does it mean? And of course, at the same time, you've got the United States. Victoria Nuland bragged about, $5 billion spent on Ukraine in order to impact their elections. I mean, there was not one, but two U.S.-sponsored coup d'etats. I mean, you had so-called Maidan Revolution in 2014, but in 2004, you had the Orange Revolution, one of the original color revolutions. So, you know, this business about, what do they say? They don't even say trying to influence election. What's the verb that they use? Well, they're trying to.
I don't know. Speaking of the Orange Revolution, 2016 was Russia's ultimate revenge on us, hacking the election to get Trump in. That was an Orange Revolution. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. What is the verb that they use? Not influence the election. Stupid meddle. They're meddling in the election. Isn't that what they say? They're meddling in the election.
Yeah. The Democrats are like, we would have had Hillary Clinton in if it wasn't for those darn Russian kids meddling.
Yeah, if it wasn't for those if it wasn't for those meddling Russians and their dog.
Right.
Scooby-Doo.
They're singing.
Scooby-Doo. Do you get the Scooby-Doo reference?
I do. I love it. Okay. I have a question. So in 2016, Russia tried to influence the election for Trump. Now, this is according to the narrative of the system.
Right.
And Russia was for Trump because of Chabad Lubavitch, and maybe because Alexander Dugin wanted Richard Spencer's ex-wife to translate his books. Okay. For the alt-right. Yeah. All right. But now Iran is supposed to be influencing the election against Trump. Russia and Iran are allies, so what's Russia going to do this year? I just was curious, so I pulled up CNN Politics. U.S. intel officials warned that Russia plans to target the swing states in the 2024 election to influence operations. Let's see what they're saying here. Propagandists are planning to covertly use social media in an attempt to sway public opinion and undermine support for Ukraine and swing states during the 2024 U.S. elections. Okay, I see what they're doing. We're beginning to see Russia target specific voter demographics, promote divisive narratives, and denigrate specific politicians, according to a director of national intelligence officer. Russia is undertaking a whole of government approach to influence the election, including the presidential race, Congress, and public opinion. So now Russia, so we know that like Trump and Vance don't really care about the Ukraine. Like they ain't got time for that. they want to really focus on Israel, our greatest ally ever of all time. And they want to stop Israel from ever being, you know, from paratroopers ever coming in on over the wall again. So they're going to focus on Iran. And I guess now the narrative is Russia is not exactly for Trump because Iran's their ally, but Russia is going to influence this whole thing of dropping support for Ukraine. That way, when Trump and Vance don't pay enough attention to Ukraine, the Democrats can be like, well, Russia's influencing you. I think that's maybe the way they're going, according to this article.
Yeah, it worked. I mean, it worked really well in 2016 because Trump came in 2017. And, well, his first act, which he did on Inauguration Day, was to fire Victoria Nuland. Okay, that was fine. But shortly after that, within a couple of weeks, within 2 weeks, one of his first major decisions was to fire his own national security advisor, Michael Flynn. And what was he firing Michael Flynn over? Michael Flynn had spoken to the Russian ambassador on behalf of the Trump campaign, where the Trump had been elected on behalf of the incoming administration, saying, look, the Obama administration is sanctioning you very recklessly. Just don't overreact. We'll get things straightened out. Which was there's a lot of precedent for this type of thing. Both Reagan had sent his incoming CIA director, William Casey, to talk to the Soviets, and Nixon had sent Kissinger to talk to the Soviets during the period between the election and the inauguration. There's plenty of precedent and there was good reason. And of course, Obama on the way out was sanctioning Russia for hacking the election. And there was no evidence. There was no evidence of it hacking the election. And when they came up with this hacking the election stuff, it wasn't even about Facebook memes or anything. It was the idea, and the reason they used hack was the idea was that in states, I think in some of these states, that literally Russian computer hackers got into the software into the machinery, I guess through the internet, and switched votes. And the Green Party candidate Jill Stein had standing because she was on the ballot in these states. One was Pennsylvania. I think it was Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. I think it was those three states. And because she had standing, she asked for a recount in those states. And of course they had the recount, and there was no evidence. There was zero evidence of hacking the machinery. So the election stood. And Jill Stein, the reason she did it was by doing so, she could accept donations for the costs of pursuing this recount. But the vehicle she set up to take the donations, if any money was left over after the recount, they could use it for ballot access, which means getting themselves on the ballot. So it was really just a scam to get a bunch of desperate Hillary supporters to give her a lot of money that then she would use for the Green Party to get on the ballot. At any rate, I'm just bringing that up. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, it's as if the United States pretends its elections are so sacred that during the election period, which is almost permanent, the rest of the world just has to hold their breath and not move, because anything that anybody does is meddling in the election, which it's just retarded.
Yep.
If Erdogan or Bashar al-Assad or Xi Jinping or anybody else wants to make a comment about the United States and the election, they're free to, right? They're free to, and that's not meddling. They can say and do whatever they want. Same goes with Russia.
It's just interesting the whole how the whole
I mean,
Jewish family system has turned. Do you hear me okay? You broke up a little
yeah,
bit. Are you
yeah.
okay? No, it's interesting how
Okay,
the
so
whole
just let me know if I start thinking.
you're still breaking up.
That sucks.
No.
How,
Yeah,
is
okay.
this any better?
Yeah, a little bit. There's still like an echo. We're in an echo chamber or something. It's just interesting to
Not
me how the
good,
whole.
let me know and we'll reconnect.
Do you want to reconnect?
We could reconnect if you think it's worth it. Is this any better?
Yeah, what you just said's better. Let me make some statements and you see if I'm breaking up. I was just saying it's
Fine.
interesting how this whole Jewish-dominated system has turned since Trump got shot in the ear. And when we say stuff like the system seems to be supporting Trump for war with Iran, I think this is what we're talking about. Putting out these articles of Iran trying to hack the election against Trump. Now Russia and Iran are, I mean, they've always been allies, but it's never been more evident than since BRICS and the failed sanctions against Russia. So they can't say that Russia is for Trump. So they're just going to say, well, they're going to influence Trump to not support Ukraine. That's interesting. And you mentioned how crooked the whole system is. I mean, and it's, I say system because it's not just the left, it's the right too. It's not just Democrats, it's Republicans and alleged conservatives just the whole system. And it does feel like they're all pivoting. I mean, the Democrats aren't going as hard, I think, as they went in 2016 and especially in 2020 against Trump. They're letting Kabbalah Harretz or Kalbania take the reins to run for president rather than, I mean, if it was really a Democratic event, wouldn't they have the Democrat convention and let the voters choose who would replace Biden and maybe have some debates? But no, I mean, it's just exactly what they did in 2019, 2020. Bernie was the man of the people, and they just said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to shut down all the debates and all the events because of COVID. And here you can have Brandon and Chlamydia. This is who's running. There was no vote. I mean, people didn't choose them. And so now, I don't really think Kamala has a chance to win, but if she did, she would be an appointed president, not an elected one. Oh, but Jeremy, we had the election. Okay, sure. But the people didn't get to choose her on the Democrat side to even be a candidate. So, I mean, the whole thing is just, I think that's another reason why they're pivoting to Trump. I mean, they understand that their base sees this. The base of the Democrat Party are completely and totally disenfranchised. Not just the hardcore pro-Palestinian anti-genocide group, but like even the run-of-the-mill Democrat has to be thinking, what happened here? We didn't pick this. And I just think the system doesn't care anymore. They don't care about the Democrat side. They're focusing on the right now because they want this war with Iran because I think Netanyahu sees his chance to fulfill the Rebbe's prophecy that Netanyahu would usher in their Messiah and the Third Temple. And he's not getting any younger, and tensions on the globe are not getting any cooler. They're just heating up against Israel big time. And I think Israel sees this is their chance to strike. So through AIPAC, through whatever, I think they're pulling out all the stops and they're like, we don't care what your party is or what you think, you're going to support Trump. We're going to have this war. I think that's what's going on in the back rooms.
Someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, bet your life's eraser, see it through. Ghost Speed Racer, Ghost Speed Racer, Ghost Speed Racer.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Wake up. Stop wasting your own time. Today, my friends, Americans are more pessimistic about the economy than they have been in a very long time. And it can be soul-crushing to work as hard as you possibly can, still not have enough money for all the bills. If you're feeling a tremendous amount of stress about your finances, you ain't alone. According to a recent survey, approximately half the entire population is struggling with mental health issues due to financial stress. 47% of adults say concerns about money have at least occasionally caused anxiety, stress, worrisome thoughts, loss of sleep, depression, or other effects. That according to Bankrate's latest money and mental health survey. Bankrate? Who in the hell is Bankrate? Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214. 65% of the people say their biggest concern is inflation and rising prices, and nearly 60% say their stress derives from paying for everyday expenses such as groceries, utilities. 56% say they're worried about having enough emergency savings. 47% are most concerned about being in debt. I like the people that are worried about having enough emergency savings. That's another one of the reasons that you should have been buying gold and silver years ago. Stop worrying about what it's worth from day to day. It's up, it's down, it's inside out. You stop worrying about those things. You can call Kettle Moraine at 602-799-8214 for a private consultation. That's 602-799-8214. Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. Call Kettle Moraine Limited today at 602-799-8214.
They've given you a number and they've taken away your name.
I think they're pulling out all the stops and they're like, we don't care what your party is or what you think. You're going to support Trump. We're going to have this war. I think that's what's going on in the back rooms. I think that's the conversation probably that Netanyahu had with important people in our government when he was here.
And, well, that's probably conversations that were going on with Netanyahu and other people in back rooms. As you know, I think of the system as being very decentralized and not monolithic. There's no doubt that there's that Netanyahu and supporters of his vision for Israel, his brand of Israel, and he has ruled Israel for 14 out of the past, what would it be? Since 2009, with the exception of, 13 out of the past 15 years. And then he was also prime minister for a bit in the 90s. This is what he wants, and he's pushing Trump and the Republican Party, J.D. Vance, for a big war with Iran. And there's too many ironies here. I mean, okay, just to touch briefly on what you were talking about with the lack of voting for Chlamydia Harris, right? So the Democrat Party has been trying to frame this election as a last-ditch effort to save democracy. If the Democrats don't win, it's our democracy. We'll lose our democracy. And so the irony is very rich that they, that, you know, after two election cycles that were used a lot of questionable tactics to put their fingers on the scale for the Democratic establishment, to put their fingers on the scale first for Hillary and then big time for Joe Biden. Now, Kamala Harris is going to be nominated without having received a single primary vote. Not exactly unprecedented, but it's something that's not precedented within the memories of people, most people, unless you can really remember back to 1968. And I actually do, even though as a kid, I was interested enough in 68. So I do remember. And that, of course, that was a weird situation. 68, you had the situation where Johnson was effectively knocked out of the primaries right after New Hampshire at the very beginning by Eugene McCarthy, running on more or less an anti-war. It was thought of as an anti-Vietnam War platform. And then as soon as Johnson's knocked out, then Robert F. Kennedy jumps in, and Kennedy and McCarthy compete in all of the primary states. And then on the last day of the primaries, the California primary, which was won by Kennedy, he's assassinated minutes after making his victory speech. And then all of his delegates then are freed. Now, you had Humphrey, Vice President Humphrey was running too, but he didn't contest the primaries. But he was contesting the caucuses, and the caucuses were very important back then. There were a lot more caucus states. And by virtue of doing well in the caucuses, which are more controlled by the establishment, and by virtue of Kennedy getting assassinated, he was able to secure the nomination in Chicago in 1968 at a very contested, very contentious convention. And people in the Democratic Party, at least the leaders of it, haven't forgotten that. And they're going to have a convention in Chicago. And I think there's, I don't know if it's so much that the Democratic establishment just wanted to shove Kamala chlamydia down our throats, but they, like the way developments unfolded, they didn't have a better choice. And so they have come. So chlamydia will be nominated almost certainly without having contested without an election. And she's the person to save democracy. So there's a giant irony there. And then just getting back to what we're talking about with the Iran. So you got Netanyahu is really pushing for war with Iran, and any hour now, he's going to launch large scale attacks on Lebanon in an effort to draw in Iran into a war that, and then if Iran's drawn in, his hope is that America will get drawn in. And then somehow Donald Trump talks as if we don't elect him, the only way to avoid World War III is to elect him. And now he's going to start spinning a war with Iran as the only way to avoid World War III. The only way to avoid World War III is to start World War III, I guess. I don't know. So it all becomes retarded, but I've been talking for too long, so I'm kicking it back to you.
Yeah, and it's kind of getting back to the representatives that skipped the address from Netanyahu. You would expect some Democrats to do that because they're obviously trying to appeal to their core.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaze by Mynutra. Why is hempaze better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaze. Hempaze contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Representatives that skipped the address from Netanyahu, you know, you would expect some Democrats to do that because they're obviously trying to appeal to their core anti-genocide supporters and trying to save a little face there. But what was fascinating was the Republicans. I mean, Thomas Massie, I believe he skipped it, didn't he?
He did, yes. He's the only Republican I'm aware of. Were there others?
I couldn't find it. I did a quick search and I couldn't find any others. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure on Massie, because there's not really a lot of coverage of, if you type in Thomas Massie skips Netanyahu address, you're not going to find anything on it. So yes, I just want to make sure I was correct.
He made a statement and it was a good principled statement.
Well, and that's phenomenal for him to do that, because his supporters are going to be right wing Trump supporters that would be supportive of Israel and Netanyahu. So for him to do that, that's major. And I think that when I do vote for my local representatives, I think I'll go ahead and write Thomas Massie in for president to make a statement.
You do that. Writing in people is good. I'm all for it in the primaries. And I'm a registered Democrat. I think, well, it's because it's funny, but I wrote in David Duke in the primaries. You know, there was Biden. There was, who else was on? There was a couple other names on there, but I wrote in David Duke in the Democratic primary. Over the past 10 years, I've been a Republican more often than a Democrat, but I had registered as a Democrat to run as a Tulsi Gabbard delegate 4 years ago. And I just thought it was funny. So I If there was a Republican primary, I wanted to vote for somebody or vote against somebody, then I'll register, re-register. And actually now I'm as soon as I get around to it, I'm going to register as a Green, because I'm supporting right now at this point, I'm supporting Jill Stein. And last night on David Duke's show, I was trying to get him to endorse Jill Stein because I think it would be really funny and it would probably get some attention. And if he endorses a left-wing Jewish woman because of her, actually he made a pretty good case for it. He didn't come out and endorse her, but he said, well, obviously she's got a principled stance against this genocide and against these foreign wars in general, which is a big deal. But he said he had looked into some of her other positions, like on immigration. And on immigration, I mean, she's not saying deport them all, but she's from like the point of view of protecting American labor. She's saying that we've got to enforce our border, which, maybe it's empty rhetoric, but it doesn't matter. I mean, she's not going to become president. And I would like him to endorse her. I'm trying to push him that way because I think it would be funny. And then what happens, if some reporter says David Duke endorsed you for president, why? Well, because you're against the wars. I mean, what are you gonna do? I think it would be funny. Am I being mischievous? I don't know.
Well, no, and back to the Massey thing. If you look at his record, I mean, he has an excellent record. You just look up Massey on Iran, and you'll pull up all kinds of good stuff. In April, Massey voted against a resolution condemning the Iranian attack on Israel. In 23, Massey voted against a resolution condemning protesters in Iran. And 4 years ago, Massey voted to stop Trump from taking us to war with Iran. And there's all kinds of stuff here. I mean, he's really the only America First, or the closest thing we're going to get to America First candidate in politics. And it's a shame that he didn't, get a better chance to maybe run against Trump. He would have taken all of the anti-war people from definitely, from the libertarian side and the Democrat side and the Republican side, it would have been a real contention. But they're not going to have that. Even if Trump would have picked Massey as a VP, that would have been something. But no, we're not having that. You can see very clearly we don't live in a republic anymore. It's whatever they call democracy, which is they'll pick their leaders for us, to go for whatever purposes and wars they want to go for. And it's on both sides.
We kind of take it for granted that there are primary elections and this is how the candidates are chosen, because that's largely been how it was for most of our life. But as I mentioned, like in 1968, as recently as 1968, the Democrats, Humphrey won the nomination on the strength of competing in caucuses. And actually, if you looked at the first two thirds of the 20th century, the first presidential primary was, I think, New Hampshire was the first one. And they started, maybe it was Wisconsin. Maybe Wisconsin was the first one. And I think it only started in 1904. So before that, the way the delegates were selected, and national conventions only started, I think, was it 1928? And it was with the anti-Masonic party, or maybe it was either 1828 or 1832. Actually, I think it was 1831. I think they had it in an odd year, but they started the convention. So, between the time conventions started in the mid-1800s and primaries really didn't become the main way that the delegates were selected until the 1970s. So for that 120, 130 years, it was these caucuses, which are meetings. So you'd have meetings people would attend, and it'd vary, but there was a process that didn't involve people, going down to the church or the YMCA and voting. It was these meetings, and you'd have to stay, and there wasn't that broad such broad participation, and then a candidate would be selected through that process. And before that, before the 1830s, the way the candidates were selected was just the members of Congress would decide who the candidate would be. So anyway, that's a little history lesson on our the democracy. I don't know if anybody finds it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, now I guess, like we said, AIPAC can just primary anybody or just run hit pieces on them. Anyone that's not kosher or certified, I guess. And Massey is definitely not kosher certified, especially back in 2020 when he compared mask mandates and vaccine compulsions to the Holocaust. He had to delete that tweet, by the way. He got a lot of come under fire for that. But yeah, Massey was against the COVID restrictions and measures. So that's, he has an excellent record. But it's just, you know, again, a shame that we can't have more people like him representing us. He's up in the northeast section, like from the Cincinnati, which right below Cincinnati.
Covington?
Yeah. The Covington area, all across to West Kentucky, or East Kentucky. That whole northern section is what he represents. But
by the way, if you ever go to Covington, I recommend the Big Boy restaurant. Not far from the bridge from Cincinnati. So, just saying.
This would be a good place to play the Cincinnati WKRP theme song.
It would be. And my stomach ache is actually going away. But
oh, good.
I don't know if I'm going to actually dig it up and play it.
Side note, what kind of Chinese medicine did you take? I'm interested in that.
I don't know. And it was these three little brown pellets. They weren't capsules. It was just looked like some sort of little balls of dried resin or something. But actually, it's starting to work. I will find out and let you know.
I'm just picturing a scene from Kung Fu, the TV show, where Kane come. You know, some person is sick or a little boy is sick, and Kane comes out with this mysterious herbal tea that he's made up, and brings the patient to complete recovery. Anyway,
well, if you go to a Chinese or Oriental food store or market, you might be able to find some Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not always sure on the regulations, what is allowed to be sold where, but you can find some of this stuff. And the thing about the difference between Chinese medicine and the Western medicine, in a way, it can be largely the same stuff, but the way that the system works in America basically is the pharmaceutical company gets a molecule and they patent the molecule, and then they see what it works for, and the Chinese medicine is basically, well, okay, we got a problem. Let's just try a bunch of random stuff and see what works. And but the thing is, they've been doing that for so many centuries that, like, they throw a bunch of weird random stuff at things, but then eventually find something that works. But it's traditional because it takes a long time. That's a, you know, they're not doing clinical trials. It's just kind of trial and error. But you know, if you were actually to do a chemical analysis of Western medicine and Chinese medicine, you're probably going to find a lot of the same chemicals, a lot of the same molecules, a lot of the same effective ingredients. It's just that they were discovered through different processes.
I know this is an aside, but it's interesting. And I'm on, you know, I swear by the Tulsi holy basil tea that I've drank every day for years. Now I'm combining that with Extendivite.
Do they have any Tulsi wetsuit tea or Tulsi surfboard tea? Because I think I'd have that.
Currently, the box has a picture of the old Indian guy and the old Indian woman, like the sages. They're like 100 years old or something. That's the picture on there. But if they would put Tulsi in a wetsuit, that would probably sell better.
Yeah.
But that with Extendivite, which is like garlic, cayenne, and different herbs, and then Shilajit, which accentuates all of that. I'm still, you know, on trial on these things, but so far they're working great. So shout out to Shilajit. Shout out to Extendivite. Go get you some, people. Anyway, do we have time to cover the travel warnings in face of this Lebanon-Israel attack?
Let's do that.
From The Guardian, and I've noticed England has cited The Guardian a lot, which is where I get a lot of my prep from. Rockets fired from Lebanon kill one Israeli citizen amid retaliation fears. The U.S. diplomatic efforts...
By the way, before I forget, the name of that medicine is Seidomaru. Seidomaru. So Seidomaru. If you are in a Oriental food store, check out the Seidomaru.
Get that over to Mike. Maybe we can get him to advertise on RBN.
Maybe.
Two barrages of rockets fired from Lebanon have killed one Israeli civilian in Kibbutz and injured another person. This is something I covered last night on my show, is that, you know, with Turkey threatening to actually invade Israel, which I think was major, as the U.S. is not seen as a unipolar power anymore, and their sanctions have failed, and they really don't have the power to invade, you know, places as they did maybe 20 years ago. As this is happening, other countries are getting more bold, and this is a very, very bold move from Lebanon. Let's get your thoughts on that real quick, just how the U.S. is seen overall on the global landscape, and how these other countries that maybe have tolerated Israel are now becoming more emboldened.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is kind of a double or nothing type of move. And, you know, if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Play dangerous games, you win dangerous prizes. That's what I learned from you. And so you've got Lebanon's, the government of Lebanon and Hezbollah in particular, who are they're not backing down from Israel. And then you've got Turkey. You got Erdogan, who's got a massive army. It's a massive army. I don't know if it's larger than the American army in terms of troops. It's often described as, you know, the second strongest army in NATO. And they're warning Israel. They're saying, look, if you cross some lines, we're going to come down and occupy you. Right? And of course, 110 years ago, the area that's Israel now was ruled by Turks. It was ruled by the Ottoman Turks. So it's hardly a and they're not that far away. There's a part of Turkey that sticks down a bit on the Mediterranean coast, and it's not that far from Lebanon, which of course is a very small country that borders to the north. So, and then they're trying to provoke a war with Iran. Iran has a very big modern military. Turkey's got a big modern military. Now, you know, Egypt and Saudi Arabia have been they've been effectively allied with Israel, but Egypt is a BRICS country now. Saudi Arabia was invited into the BRICS for whatever reason. Their entry has been delayed a bit, but Saudi Arabia has signed the peace treaty with Iran, and so you got Israel that's trying to provoke this massive war. It's surrounded by, you know, if you add the populations of Saudi Arabia, Iran, Turkey, and Egypt, that's well over 300 million people. It's got as many people as the United States. They're way closer. They're all very close. You know, Egypt has a border, and Saudi Arabia, which I'm not really expecting Saudi Arabia to get involved, but still, you never know what's going to happen. And Saudi Arabia is just like 10 miles. At one point, it's like no more than 10 miles from Israel. And, you know, Turkey's very close. Iran's the one that's farthest away, but Iran's got all these proxies in the area. Netanyahu's completely playing with fire. if I were a pro-Israel Jew, I would, and I think a lot of pro-Israel Jews actually share this sentiment. They ought to be very alarmed that playing double or nothing. Why play double or nothing? What was so bad? I mean, Israel. The problem with the Israelis is they don't know how to say yes to generous offers. I mean, they've had so many generous offers for peace from Mahmoud Abbas.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
They don't know how to say yes to generous offers. I mean, they've had so many generous offers for peace from Mahmoud Abbas, from Yasser Arafat, from Hamas even, from everybody. But they always want more. This is the whole thing. They always want more. And they're just pushing for more and more, and they don't know when to stop. So anyway, I hope that answered whatever question you had for me. We're close to the end of the show, so I kick it back to you.
Well, again, I can't reiterate enough that, you know, Israel wants this greater Israel. I think it's been a push since the early 80s when that one journalist wrote the piece on a greater Israel. Tell me, I'll think of his name in a minute.
Well, I mean, sometimes we're talking about Seymour Hersh.
No, it starts with a Y.
The Pinot, what is it?
Edith Onan,
yeah, okay. Yeah,
That was written in the early 80s, and I think that the Israeli powers and Jewish power in general saw this shift happening towards Eurasia then. Then 90s, you had the Project for New American Century, 9/11, and you had a really strong drive after the Soviet Union dismemberment to try to consolidate this area of Greater Israel. They see that it's an important strategic area as power shifts to Eurasia. So I think that's the major push here. But just a little bit more on this article, there's travel bans or there's travel advisements being let out here. But this Guardian article is painting the U.S. as one of the leading countries trying to facilitate peace and not go to war. And I think it's because Lloyd Austin went off script here. Austin says that on Tuesday he does not believe a full-blown war is inevitable, you know, between Israel and Lebanon. I don't think he was supposed to say that. And, you know, it would be interesting to see who Trump's going to replace Austin with in 25.
Yeah. Or who Chlamydia would replace Austin with, because, you know, the word is that she doesn't – it's probably she's never been taken seriously by the foreign policy team. She doesn't get along with them, and she'll probably replace them. And so the thing is you've got – these people who are now lame ducks. So Austin and Blinken and Sullivan, they're now lame ducks. Not just if Trump wins, but even if Chlamydia wins, they're lame ducks. This is part of the reason I think that this wasn't just some long plan to replace Biden at the last minute. Maybe some people wanted to do that, but I think that there were people around. Important people like those three around Biden, who Biden's their ticket to ride, but Biden's gone now. And so what does that mean? Does, on the one hand, would that mean that somebody like Blinken is going to be more reckless than ever? Or does it mean that somebody like Lloyd Austin is an N-word who doesn't give an S, or an N-word who doesn't give an F-word, and is going to go off script? I don't know.
Well, black men especially tend to do that. They tend to speak their mind, and that's a positive thing. Anyway.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining me. Stay tuned for part two of the Patrick and Jeremy Show, uncharacteristically, coming up Tuesday evening on In Plain Sight.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
I'm doing my best, and I'll be back again tomorrow or not with another impressive, exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.